morning, everyone. It's Mothering Sunday. It's to do with children and families, and it's to do with those difficulties that sometimes we have and the joys and blessings of all that that might mean. And Mothering Sunday, you know, it's a bit like Marmite with some people. Sometimes people really like it and other people, they really don't like this particular day. And if you're a mother today and you've received cards and gifts from the family that have already blessed you and you've got planned visits to be together, I would just say celebrate and enjoy every single moment together. Because we've learned in our family over the years to be very quick to celebrate our times together, and especially those times when all is well with our souls and all is well with our health. But, you know, I'm aware that those among us may find this day particularly difficult for a whole host of profoundly difficult reasons. So please stay with me as, you know, we turn to this passage in John's Gospel this morning. And it's to look at a wider picture here and to reflect on what it means to be a woman and mother in that culture and today's culture too. And to look at our relationship with God as women and men together of faith. So first of all, we'll look at the cultural background in which the women lived at the time of Jesus. And in John's Gospel that we've just heard read to us, we're going to look at these moments around the cross where we find these three women and Jesus' mother as Jesus is being crucified. We're given the names of three of these women, and often in the Bible we're not given the names of women. And yet their presence and their work that they did in supporting Jesus' ministry, it's often mentioned all but briefly. It was a very male-dominated society in which they lived. Yet none of these four women, as they gathered around the cross, were deterred by the fury of the enemies all around Jesus, or indeed the horror of his broken body on the cross. They couldn't rescue him, and all the disciples apart from John had deserted him, and yet these women stayed close to Jesus. And the Bible tells us in our reading this morning, standing near the cross were Jesus' mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And this scene that took place in a culture where women were regarded as second-class citizens. They were surrounded by religious Jewish men who, at the beginning of their daily morning prayers, would pray, amongst lots of other blessing prayers, this one too. Blessed are you, Lord our God, ruler of the universe, who has not created me a woman. Well, they don't know what they're missing, do they? And this prayer, it's still prayed today. And this gathering of these women, it took place in a culture where women were never allowed to testify as witnesses in court. Josephus, an historian at the time, said that even the witness of multiple women was not accepted because of the levity and boldness of their sex. And Celsus, a second century critic of Christianity, he mocked the idea of Mary Magdalene as an alleged witness of the resurrection, referring to her as a hysterical female deluded by sorcery. And yet, if we remember, Mary Magdalene was the one who was healed as Jesus drove out seven demons. And she was also one whom God chose to be among the first at the empty tomb on Easter Sunday morning. So it was in such a culture as this that these women, you know, as we look at them, they were clearly women of courage, of compassion, of perseverance, and of motherly love. And there were examples of disciples who pressed in to follow Jesus, regardless of the cost to themselves. And we can only assume that, you know, at such times, such courage could only have come from God himself. So why does this matter to us this morning, all this background stuff? Well, this background matters because it points to a theological reminder that the kingdom of the Messiah turns the systems of this world on its head. And whenever Jesus is involved in our lives and in the different aspects of this world and our relationships, everything seems to be turned upside down. Things begin to change. And it was into this culture that Jesus radically affirmed the full dignity of women and the vital value of their witness. There was no attempt here to make out that women were better than men or vice versa. Jesus was simply affirming the women as equals, created in his image and loved by him, and showing to them a way to live and to be allowed to live to the fullness of their God-given potential. And it was in this culture, this background, that Mary had been the mother of Jesus. And I just want to turn briefly to Mary now, because this passage tells us that just before noon, on the first Good Friday, before darkness had covered the earth, Jesus became acutely aware of Mary, his mother, standing with the disciples he loved at the foot of the cross. And he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, the disciple took her into his home. Now, Jesus, in the absolute midst of his own agony, knowing the agony his mother was enduring too, provided for her future security by asking John to be her son and Mary to be John's mother. And it's amazing what happened in these tender moments in the midst of this terrible agony that was going on, as Jesus touched their lives afresh. John didn't expect that call on his life that day, and neither did Mary expect to gain another son. But here we see the nurturing, loving, mothering nature of God drawing from John the very best and demonstrating so clearly that the mothering nature of women that's deep within us isn't confined only to those who have children of their own. So this Mothering Sunday isn't just for us as women who have children of our own, but it's looking to something much deeper than that, that God calls each one of us to. Because here we see a call to take responsibility for each other as family, to love, to nurture those we live with as community, a call to mother and to father those in need, and to bless them with our God-given gifts together as women and men of faith. I think all of us know only too well that many families are fractured and broken for many different reasons. But here, Jesus calls us to be family to each other, to stand in the gap for those who need a family they can trust and where they can find a love that truly reflects that unconditional love that each one of us finds in Jesus. And as we look at Mary, she reminds us that being a mother carries with it unexpected joys and also crises that crash in uninvited, unexpected privilege and pain. And she, you know, within this picture that we see her here standing watching her own son dying, unexpected wounds that many of us as mothers carry with us and yet we can carry on, embracing all that's good through the blessings of family life and through the God who strengthens us by his Spirit. So just for a moment or two, I want to ask two of the mothers here today, I'm not just dropping it on them, so don't worry. I have asked them if they would be prepared to do this. So I'm going to ask Lucy and Naomi to come and to talk about, you know, for them in our culture today, you know, what it's like being a mother. And so would you like to come now, Naomi and Lucy? Come and join me, because you know this actual microphone's really good and it will pick up all our voices. Come closer, because we're just going to have a chat, really. So first of all, would you just tell us about your own family briefly, and what does it mean to you? What's being a mother to you? Lucy, would you like to start?
Yeah. So my family is me, my husband Chris, and my two very noisy children this morning. Hi. Charlie is 7 months old and Rosie is 2.5, going on 15. And we moved here about 9 months ago now. And we've been coming since about September last year to the church. I think it's been really interesting, actually, since you asked me to think about what we were going to talk about today, because I have my sister visiting, and actually my mum was visiting yesterday as well, and we actually sat down and talked about
Did
it,
you?
The
yes.
three of us, which was really interesting. And I think at the end of the day, putting it very simply, being a mother is about being a role model. And I think that's the simplest way I can put it, really.
Thank you.
No,
it's not that easy. Stay close. Just step up a little bit closer as well. And a few, Naomi. Naomi, we've already had a chat this morning, so this is Naomi's second chat, so she's really used to it now, aren't you? Feeling very comfortable. The question is, yeah. I thought I'd leave them there for you.
Being a mum to me is something that I thought would never happen, because me and David took 7.5 years of waiting before lovely Matthew arrived, and so to me it's a real privilege and a gift, and Matthew's name actually means gift from God, and we truly believe that, and I just feel that that they've been lent to me for a time, and that's it really. For those who don't know, it's Matthew's 14, he's autistic, he's got his lovely flag at the back, and Lydia's 12, and Daniel's 8.
Thank you Naomi. And that that gap of 7 years waiting, it speaks of very, very profound emotional seesaw that can go on in our lives as we, you know, we're given that God-given desire to be parents. So thank you for that, Naomi. And I just want to say that if there's anyone here in that position this morning, you know, I'm sure Naomi won't mind if they come to you to talk. Is that all right, Naomi? I just want to pick that up straight away. So what are the joys about being a mum?
If you'd asked me about 20 minutes ago, there's almost too many to try and put it into words, but I think it's just spending time with these things, that's a really bad phrase, but it's just being around these little people that you've created that are a part of you, and that you have, it's kind of scary in a way. The joy part is kind of hand in hand with the utter fear that you're going to fail miserably and do an awful job, and I guess that's where having faith and knowing that you're not doing it on your own sort of makes the whole process a lot easier, and it gives you this kind of amazing model to try, you know, it gives you that amazing role model to try and be like. And I think it's just, yeah, it is amazing. It's just watching them play together now, which is really lovely, and just seeing them interact and seeing them kind of model the behaviour that I know I've been showing them, particularly Rosie. Charlie not so much just yet, because he doesn't really know he's got hands and stuff.
Yes.
So, but no, it's lovely. And you know, when I hear her talk and I can actually she's pretty much just repeating things I've said to her, but I know it's because I've shown her that that's the way to be with people and to be around people and things
yes.
like that.
Thank you.
I can't say any better than that, really. No, it's just the same thing, really. I mean, but like you said, it's 1 minute you're really happy about something and then like 5 minutes later it's like...
Yes.
Patience is definitely the greatest virtue, without a shadow of a doubt.
That's interesting.
Yeah. For me, it's... just the funny things that they say, really. I love that, and like the really surprising ways in which they don't understand something that you thought they'd understood, and then all of a sudden it's like, really? Did you really think that? And I've written down lots of things that they've said and kept note of the funny things. One of the things I said earlier was Daniel was asking me once about the dinosaurs, and he said, well, when were the dinosaurs around? And I said, oh, long time ago, millions of years ago. And then he said, were you scared?
I think that's a lovely idea to write those things down, because I didn't.
That idea.
I didn't. It's good to steal those good ideas.
Definitely.
So, if you could, just tell us what difference your faith makes in being a mother and being, being in that position where you have the responsibility for those children that you have in the family life.
I think the bottom line, and we were kind of, I was talking with my sister and my mum yesterday, we were trying to work out, we were saying we've always believed that we can achieve anything we want to do, and, we've always been given that confidence. And I was sort of, we were saying to my mum yesterday, well, that's come from you and our dad, that's how you, modelled life to us, what we can be whatever we want. And my mum was like, oh, well, that's fantastic, I wonder where I got it from. And she was like, well, that came from my mum, actually, from your grandma, that, and it was modelled from there. And I think that's the biggest challenge. It's the weight of responsibility. But I think that, again, there's so many issues that, and I think it's a mistake to think that they're new and it's because of the way society is now. I think there's certain esteem-related issues that are worse now because of social media and things like that than maybe they were. But children have always, the biggest struggle is getting them to believe in themselves and to know that they're loved. And I think having this model and having God, whose unconditional love is just unbelievable, and if you can model even a fraction of that to your children and let them know that they're that loved and that it is unconditional, then that's got to give you the basis for that confidence, that self-belief that they need really to take them forward to be everything that they can be. And I think for me, if I can model as much of that as I can and know that, my faith gives me the faith to know I can do it, then that's, I think that's the best way I can put it.
Thank you. Thank you. Naomi.
I suppose when I'm going through tough times, I just sort of think back to the thing about that we didn't know that we were even going to be able to have any. And if God can do that, then he can do anything, even help me get through the tough times. But also, I have like Bible verses up around the place that remind me of things that I need to know, like be strong and courageous and stuff like that. And also, for me, one of the key things, like you said it all already as well, but about being able to tell them about Jesus and spend time with them with the Bible and praying with them and stuff and hearing them their little prayers and then pointing out that they have their own little answers to prayer and stuff. That's really special, really.
Mm. Thank you. Thank you. Can I just pray for you before you go? But thank you so much for sharing with us, so honestly too. It's a bit nerve-wracking, but thank you. Well, let me pray for you before you go and sit down. So, Lord, we thank and praise you for Lucy and Naomi this morning. We thank you for the gift of their children. We pray for David and Chris, their husbands, and we pray for this whole family, each one. We pray your blessings into their lives. We pray that as mothers, you would equip Lucy and Naomi with all that they need day by day to bring up their children to come to know you and to inspire them to be all that you are calling them to be. So we pray the gifts of patience and perseverance over you as mums. And we pray that you would know the love of Jesus in your lives as you bless your children with that same love. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thanks so much. So thank you. And it's just so interesting that to view our children as gifts from God, and that we're, the responsibility for them doesn't lie solely with us as people of faith and as mothers. It's so important to know that. And I remember I used to think that God stands in the gap of every mistake that I've made, and it's such a blessing to be aware of God's presence with us all the time. And this whole idea of being a model to our children by example, we are going to bless them with good things in their lives about behaviour, about how to treat each other, and about the love that Jesus shows them through us. And sometimes we forget that we are very, very significant influences in the lives of our children, but also in the lives of the children around us, in the, you know, the children who are part of our family here, and the children in our neighbourhood where we live, those people that we meet in our communities together. And our responsibility and our care for them, it extends, just as God's does, out, right out there into the community. And I just briefly want to turn to our reading from Timothy, where Paul, this morning, we heard that he was writing to encourage Timothy in his work and faith. And it is an encouraging word to every one of us. And Paul acknowledges within what he's saying that what he sees in Timothy first lived in the hearts of the women in Timothy's life. And in that male-dominated society, the women were left to bring up the children. And what Paul was recognising, and it's something that Lucy alluded to as she was talking to us, and that she'd been talking to her family, you know, where does this faith come from? Where does this idea come from? And Paul was saying that this faith first lived in his grandmother Lois and in his mother Eunice, and now that faith lives in Timothy's life. And you know, they were influencers for good in Timothy's life. And he grew in faith and confidence. And he grew up to the calling that God had in his life. And he had the courage to do that. And we need, too, to be influencers for good in the lives of our own children and the lives of children who touch our lives day by day. The question is, you know, are we always aware of the influence that we are having or not having in the lives of our children? And I just want you to look at this video, which, you know, we saw as leaders last, was it last week or the week before? Seems a long time ago, maybe a couple of weeks ago. And I was quite taken aback once again about how much influence we intentionally have for good, and how sometimes we just leave it behind. So just watch this.
Hi, Erin.
Hi.
Okay, so I'm going to just give you some actions to do, and you do the first thing that comes to mind. Show me what it looks like to run like a girl. Show me what it looks like to fight like a girl. Now throw like a girl.
Yes. Aww. My name is
show me what it looks like to run like a girl. Grow like a girl. Fight like a girl. What does it mean to you when I say run like a girl?
It means run fast as you can.
So do you think you just insulted your sister?
No. I mean, yeah, insulted girls, but not my sister.
Is like a girl a good thing?
Actually, I don't know what it really is. If it's a bad thing or a good thing. It sounds like a bad thing. It sounds like you're trying to humiliate someone.
So when they're in that vulnerable time, between 10 and 12, how do you think it affects them when somebody uses like a girl as an insult?
I think it definitely drops their self-confidence and really puts them down, because during that time they're already trying to figure themselves out. And when somebody says you hit like a girl, it's like, well, what does that mean? Because they think they're a strong person. It's kind of like telling them that they're weak and they're not as good as them.
And what advice do you have to young girls who are told they run like a girl, hit like a girl, hit like a girl, swim like a girl?
Keep doing it
because
it's working. Somebody else says that running like a girl or kicking like a girl or shooting like a girl is something that you shouldn't be doing, that's their problem. Because if you're still scoring and you're still getting the ball in time and you're still being first, you're doing it right. It doesn't matter what they say. I mean, yes, I kick like a girl and I swim like a girl and I walk like a girl and I wake up in the morning like a girl because I am a girl. And that's not something that I should be ashamed of. So I'm going to do it anyway. That's what they should do.
If I asked you to run like a girl now, would you do it differently?
I would run like myself.
Do you have a chance to redo it?
Why can't run like a girl also mean win the race?
Thank you, John. In watching that, I guess there's all sorts of responses from different people this morning, but I think it probably highlights how we can just forget how words spoken into someone's life can raise them up or can crush them into a corner. And to can prevent them to becoming all that we want them to be as parents and all that God created them to be. And so often we in our society, even though this is not a male-dominated society such as the women in Jesus' time, we still find that words are spoken into the lives of children, of women, and it actually does nothing to allow them the freedom to become everything that God wants them to be. And this is not about a competition between men and women. This is about men and women becoming everything God created us to be, so that out of all of our relationships, we can all enjoy the richness and the depth that God had intended for each one of us to be family together. I want to just return to this passage from Timothy, because Jesus, we just looked back at what was happening and how he was looking and how he related to the women of his day. And he radically affirmed the full dignity of women. And he blessed every woman that he met. And he was not afraid to treat them as equals. He was not afraid to raise them up and not put them down. And I think this passage from Timothy, where we read, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love and self-discipline." And it's God who has given to each one of us a voice and a dignity to live alongside each other, which calls for grace from each one of us, from respect for each one of us, and for love and self-discipline, to work together, to work all, you know, together to find out what actually that means in our individual families and in our family of faith together and in our communities as God sends us out to be the ones who love them in his name. So I'd like to pray now for the women who are here. So, women of faith, would you like to stand, if you can, would you like to stand up this morning? Would you like to stand, because we're going to pray for you. And if the men would like to join in this prayer for them, we're going to just pray God's blessing on you. So, Lord, we pray, as we stand before you as women of faith, that you would enable each one of us to yield to everything that's good within us that you created us to be, that you would enable us to live out our faith in you, that we might become a blessing, that we as women would become the people you created us to be, that we would then be a blessing not only to our children, but we would enable those around us to flourish. And as we give way to that mothering gift within us, help us to have the courage to be the influencers that you long for us to be, and that each would know that they have been touched by the love of Jesus through our love for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now would you like to sit down? We're going to pray for the men now. So men, would you like to stand up too? And women, let's pray for the men who are here amongst us. And if, you know, there are people at home, then let's pray for them too. And so, Lord, we pray for these men of faith today. And we pray your blessing on each one of them, that each one would grow up into the fullness of faith, into the full potential that you created them to be. And that as they put roots deep within faith and the love of you, that will be the hallmark of their relationship with you that is seen by others, and that will be the hallmark of the relationship in family life with each other and within our communities, and that will be a blessing. And that too will be a moment, the moments that we have with people, the moments we intentionally want to influence them for good. In those moments, would you use each one of us to open the door to the kingdom to those we meet? In Jesus' name, amen.